the Riot Podcast.
Happy Wednesday.
Today is a day, it's a Tiger Drive day.
It is.
We were one day off from it being Tiger Tuesday.
Well, we were close.
We were close.
Now, Tiger Drive is a new group to Radio U. You might not have heard them before. They're very, very new. We started their song last Friday, but it features Jeremy, and Jeremy used to be in a group we played on Radio U called Ocean Speak.
Yes. And so if you're wondering, whatever happened to Ocean Speak?
You'll find out when you hear from Jeremy, who's now in Tiger Drive.
Today is the day you're going to learn the answers to your questions.
That's right. So a new band to learn about.
There's that also in the podcast history. McDonald's lanes, yelling. Lane one, lane two. You'll get it. More snakes, more whining about vacation. But this, I feel like this is a good one.
This one's different.
When you connect it with the Disney World story that follows not long after, I feel like there's a symmetry there that you're actually going to really be able to appreciate.
It just works.
It really does. There's a new best burger in America. The strollers thing. And, do you usually pee on an ATM before or after you set it on fire? And
these are all important questions you got to realize for the next time you go to the ATM.
Yes. Yeah, so we're taking a look at the hard-hitting issues today.
Only the best.
Oh, well, I mean, it's the important
stuff.
This
is the stuff that'll actually help you. I feel like if you listen to other news stuff, it's not helping you. It's only highlighting the problem.
Right.
We're figuring out, how do you deal with if you come up against what happens?
Well, think about it like this. Everybody's talking about Russian intelligence, Trump, like whatever. Like, that doesn't affect you in your, like, day-to-day.
Well, if you're trying to take cash out because you actually had to get cash because somebody needed to have cash.
Now, that's something that could actually happen to you today.
And what happens at the ATM?
So, I mean, it's true that we might weigh things differently than other people do. Like, maybe that's a thing. But you know what?
This is good stuff.
Just spend some time with us, and then you can go back to the other.
Make sure you check out Radio U Riot on Facebook or Radio U Riot YouTube channel. Did you include our taste test in this?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, we tried.
The smoking hot Butterfinger cups.
Butterfinger cups from, Butterfinger peanut butter cups that are smoking hot.
Sent to us all the way from Hagerstown,
Maryland. Thank you, Josh.
Thank you, Josh, for doing that. And remember, anytime you guys want us to eat something, send your delectable treats too.
Just find us on Facebook. Email us and we'll try to find it. Don't worry.
It is the Riot.
Baby's crying. Nails on a chalkboard. Your girlfriend saying, "We need to talk." The worst of the Riot. Yep, it really is that bad. On Radio U.
I think I might be ruining myself for radio.
Why?
Now, many of you are like, dude.
That was being generous in the beginning.
You were spoiled before it started. So don't think that you've gone from a place of competence to a place of incompetence. That is the shortest journey in the history of mankind.
Hey, maybe people were not even saying that. You're being harsh on yourself.
No, I just... I know it. I know it's real. I know it is. But for the last, the last day, I've been listening to a podcast called Dan Carlin's Hardcore History.
Yeah.
Eric got me started on that. It is a almost 6-hour history lecture.
Hey, listen, as two people who do podcasts, that's amazing to get that long.
You wouldn't believe it.
How often does he do those?
I don't know. I've never listened to the guy. I don't know who he is. I don't know. But Eric was like, you really need to check this out. Apparently, it is one of the most popular podcasts out there. Of course, then that just depends on, like, well, is that on iTunes or is that on through the something else?
In which genre is it?
What are you talking about? But it is 5.5 hours. And eventually it's supposed to talk about the Cuban Missile Crisis, but he started out with basically the invention of the atomic bomb.
Yeah.
And it's just moving forward.
Must be fascinating if you're still into it.
Listen, I have listened and listened. And the thing that's amazing is I've listened for 2 hours and 10 minutes.
And you still have way longer to go. You're not even halfway.
Not even halfway through it. And I was driving in this morning. I'm just like, man, this is me just sitting through a history lecture. But I'm glued to it. It's
funny,
so fascinating.
In a podcast form, you're like, yes, you can't get enough of it. But if you're actually to sit in a history lecture, you'd be like, get me out of here.
Well, maybe not you. Can we have breaks and can I have coffee? Like, it might be fine.
I feel like that's the time that I went and saw those two Lord of the Ring movies back to back. Like, in the theater, like, that's an investment.
Yeah, I saw three.
Oh, you did? Okay, then you're fine to sit through this podcast.
The extended editions.
Oh, my gosh.
So, like, I've seen
them. This is just a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, but like I'm just, there's part of me that is in awe because it's like, okay, 5.5 hours of talking. Like, where's this? I mean, you know, there are edits, yeah. You know, there are breaks, but it's like, where's this guy taking his breaks? How many days did it take him
to do that
podcast? He's alone doing a 5.5 hour podcast. But Nikki, it's fascinating.
Well, that is interesting.
It is. Like, I just can't get enough of it. And I'm just like, oh, man, do I have to turn it off and do my show now?
Oh, boy.
What?
Well, don't let the boss hear that one. You're like, why? What would you rather be doing, Obi? This podcast about history.
Yeah. What? You know, here, I just put my phone up to the microphone. Yeah, you guys, listen.
Let him do the show with us.
Oppenheimer doesn't think we should make thermonuclear weapons, guys.
Okay, this is what we're doing. This is it. Your question of the morning coming up later this hour is going to be amazing.
Who else can't get enough, right?
Hey, you know what? The support of me says, I'm glad you found a new podcast to listen to and how amazing that it's 6 hours long.
That should cover a week's worth of commutes.
Yeah.
I do drive a lot, though, so we'll see.
The Ryan has a problem with authority.
It's a little rule. Maybe you're not familiar with it. Nobody tells me what to do, ever.
Yes. Dude,
this morning? Okay. I went to McDonald's this morning and I lost a bunch of time because I was supposed to have extra time because I wanted to be here extra early today.
Sure.
I burnt almost all that time in a McDonald's drive-thru. So I pull up and, you know, not all McDonald's, but most, I think at this point, I've got like the 2-lane drive-thru.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I notice I pull up like there are 2 people in lane 1 and there's 1 person in lane 2. And I thought, I'm going with 2. Like,
well,
I feel good about 2.
Well, it's a roll of the dice every time you do that.
It is. So the guy in front of me makes his order, pulls ahead, and then I pull up, and the guy, instead of taking the order for lane 1, just goes right to me at lane 2 and takes my order, and I hear the lady start screaming.
Really?
The lady that's in like lane 1.
Oh my gosh.
And I was just like,
because
she
was next in line, but the person missed it or?
Yes. And in fact, like as she's kind of screaming profanity and I can tell she throws her car into drive and takes off. I was like, my thought was like, wow, she's leaving. She's
she's not in line anymore. That's me.
I want you to know that I became, at her rage and frustration, I became so flabbergasted. I had a hard time ordering because I was just like.
And you can't really describe it to the guy in case they didn't catch, like, through the ordering system.
Like, I don't even remember what I wanted to order. I don't know.
Aw, that's something. A good moment to be a part of.
Though, Nikki, you see, that's the beginning of the moment. That's not the whole moment.
That's not it. Okay. See, for most people, that would have been it.
So both the cars just drive off. Yeah. And I was like, well, that's it, whatever. And I pull up. And I just had this feeling things are not going well inside. And so I took a look at the clock and I was like, okay, 6 minutes. Like, if at the end of 6 minutes, they do not, like, they can't get through to me, like, I'm going to have to roll.
Ordering like, or just like getting your money
getting
or your food.
Getting my food to me. Yeah. It's like at some point, like I can't give you 20 minutes in the drive-thru, guys. You got so long.
If you've never been to a drive-thru around like 5 in the morning, sometimes it takes that long.
Yeah. And so whatever. So then I see this. I'm three cars deep in the line. I'm the third car. First car pays, gets their food, whatever. Guy goes to the window and I didn't realize it, but that was the lady from lane 1. She had just pulled up and she began screaming.
To complain?
Yes.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
There goes your 6 minutes.
I know.
Did you get your food?
I did. I sat there and I was like, all right, I'm going to extend this by a couple of minutes.
We're going to add a grace period because this lady's yelling.
Yeah, I was like, so whatever. So eventually I got my food. But like, the thing that got me is this lady, the first thing I hear is, I sat there for 7 minutes! And
she's
I actually thought, I was like, oh, see, I would have only given him six.
Well,
like, 6 is like my limit.
That's
You gave him 7 minutes, and it, like, that wasn't enough. Like, for me, I'm like, it's 7 minutes, I'm out! And instead, you're like, it's 7 minutes, and I've been here for 5. Lady, you're at least 12 minutes into this exchange. You don't have
She's
any
more generous.
Food. You haven't even made an order yet. And, you know, she did, and I just thought, I was like, man, I don't.
It's hard when you see someone screaming like that, even just during like daytime hours, but to see someone so out of it so early in the morning, it's like, where does that come from? Aren't you tired? Like, just waking up?
Well, she's hungry.
So, like, then the rest of the day, are you pretty mellow because you got out your screaming fit at, you know, 5 a.m?
Well, until she gets back to another mealtime, in which case.
Oh, she was hangry.
Yeah.
It's fine. She was just very, very hungry.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine if I could have walked up to her car and handed her a Snickers?
Oh, no. Then that's escalating like, it. That's like poking a bear.
It's like,
don't do it.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Are you hungry?
just here you go.
Man, I would have come and done something. That's terrible. That's so bad. That's just like, just stay in your car and just wait.
I wish you could have been there with me to hear me trying to order. This lady is screaming, taking off, and then you find out she's still there.
She's still in line.
Imagine a world where the riot never talks and it's glorious Radio U music for hours on end. Now, imagine the opposite of that. You're already there. It's the worst of the riot on Radio U.
The Radio U throwback channel is now. So, of course, you're not going to want to listen during the riot. You'll want to keep listening to the riot.
Well,
but
I felt bad. The throwback channel is lots of Radio U songs from our history.
Yes, indeed.
We started that during our fundraiser this past spring, and we gave you guys a throwback channel just during the fundraiser, and you loved it so much, we decided to make that a permanent edition. So that's available through RadioU.com and through our Radio U app. But I had to laugh when we posted about our throwback channel when it launched on Monday. Someone was like, yeah, I'll listen to the riot in the morning and then throwback channel in the afternoon. And I was like, wait, that's Hudson's time. What are you doing?
You know
so
what?
I don't know when you can listen.
Look, just between you and me, I don't know about Hudson. You know what I'm saying?
But it was super bad because you guys don't know this, but Hudson was the one who made the posting about the throwback channel. And
so
I thought, he'd see that one.
That.
Yeah, he saw that.
He saw what you guys did. So, and you know what? Despite his brash exterior, he's sensitive.
He's a softie.
He's sensitive.
He is.
You want to be careful with that.
But our throwback channel is available for you to check out some of our classic Radio U songs.
Hey, speaking of softie and feeling a little left out, last year, multiple times, I asked Nikki to go to Maine with me, and we were going to take, it was going to be a trip.
Like,
we were
going to fall our car trip.
The idea that I had was we were going to get a Batmobile, and we were going to drive.
That's because that was for sale then.
Yeah, we found one, and we were going to drive through the New England states, ending in Maine, and just in, because I've never been to Maine. I don't know what it's like.
Well, we were going to
They have a Portland there.
You've only been to the other Portland.
I know.
We were going to go to look at foliage.
Fall foliage.
Can you imagine?
In the Batmobile?
Okay,
it's
no,
perfect.
I never said yes to that part.
You never
said
yes to
get
any part.
A reasonable rental car.
She said we'll see.
A sensible
see.
Car.
She gave me a we'll see. And you know what? We saw nothing. That's what we saw. So, over the weekend, there was some stuff happening in the state of Maine.
Yeah.
They had the Maine Coast Marathon. Doesn't that sound lovely? It is a marathon
on
the coast of Maine.
Sure.
They had 400 runners. Let's see. 643 runners total. But apparently, this is a race that is fairly well known as a Boston Marathon qualifier.
I guess.
I mean, I'm not far enough into running to know, but
if you're going to pick a race to qualify for, it's nice to branch out and pick something that sounds lovely.
Yeah. So they had a little problem. They had a lot of marathon runners that did not qualify for Boston, and they were frustrated, and they couldn't figure out,
like, what was wrong?
What's the problem? Like, what the heck happened? Turns out they had an extra half mile on the marathon. Whoops. Whoops.
And if you're not a runner, you're probably like, well, what's the big deal?
No,
like that person has been working and training to qualify for Boston. So this is just like a big stepping off point to get to that race.
Well, let's think about it like this. Okay, let's say you're right on the line for qualifying for Boston.
Yeah.
Okay, let's say that you're running 8 minute miles. I mean, I don't know what the qualifying time is, but I'm just picking a time. Let's say you're running you just ran 26 8 minute miles and you're right on the line. Well, now your time is 4 minutes longer than it should
have been. And in running
again,
that's way longer.
It's so much. I've been thrilled to chop 15, 20 seconds off of a 5K time. You're talking about 4 minutes on a 26 mile race.
The bigger question then, what do they do then?
There's nothing you can do about it.
That's so not fair.
The race director apologized.
That means nothing.
Now, Nikki, he said he was sorry. Okay. So that he ended up ruining your marathon time, but there isn't anything you can do. Like, Boston's not like, well, we'll just shave a couple off there.
Well, no, I didn't know, like, can you redo the race? You can pick another Saturday and it's like an unofficial one, but you still get timed for Boston.
He basically said, look, we'll give you a refund on your race registration. So if you were doing this to qualify for Boston and you didn't qualify.
Now maybe you can go run another race to qualify.
You could take that money, go run another race. But dude,
I'd be so mad. You went through all that training and you're so emotional. I mean, you just ran a marathon. Well, actually, you ran a marathon and some.
You ran more than a marathon. You know what? It would take a real runner to be like, does anybody else feel like that was long?
I'd also hate to be the person who mapped out the course and they get that pit in their stomach of like, I've made a mistake.
Oh, no.
Someone has seen that I've made a mistake and everybody's angry.
It said it really came down to a course marshal instructed runners to make an incorrect turn.
Oh.
So they had it was mapped correctly, but somebody out on the course was like, go this way. And they all ended up in a dead end and had to come back. There's your half mile.
The Riot.
Pushing people's buttons to get a reaction can actually be very good for society.
Radio U.
So what's the governor in your state doing today? Do you know? Because I know this. In Florida, the lieutenant governor, and, you know, that's not the governor, but still, he's like almost governor. He's out hunting pythons.
Python?
Yeah.
So the Everglades thing?
Yeah. So, like, he's not doing it today. On Monday, Florida Lieutenant Governor Carlos Lopez Cantera went out hunting snakes in the Everglades, and he went with a group of 25 hunters, and they say he brought in a 15-foot, 4-inch python. What? Okay, is it just me? Or are there way too many stories about 15-foot-long pythons in the news?
But I think we're just getting that snippet. So I don't know how it is. Like, if you actually go down to the Everglades, is it just, oops, I need to step over this 15-foot snake? Like, they're just lousy with it? Or are we just getting, you know, like when they do it with sharks? You know, you get just shark story after shark story after shark story. And you're like, well, you expect the ocean to just, you expect to be bit.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, how is it actually? Because the Everglades is a big, big space.
I get what you're saying. I do. But all right, let's say you say to me, hey, somewhere in this 10 square miles, mm-hmm. I know the Everglades is bigger than that, but just go with me here. Somewhere in this 10 square miles, we have 2 15-foot-long pythons. That is too many.
Because they're not supposed to be there.
That's too many of them. And they're trying to, I know, like, hey, we're taking care of the problem. Yeah, we're doing it, guys. We're doing it.
Uh-huh.
No, it's too much. Though, kudos to the governor, lieutenant governor, for getting involved. You know, he's not just out there saying, hey, you guys should do this, but he's doing it. Now, the other side of that is, one can't help but wonder if it was like, hey, I took out a team of 25 guys, and just so you know, guys, whichever one of you catches the python, it's mine. I caught it.
That's how I see it.
You agree that I caught it. You'll go on record saying I caught it, and we're going to do a photo op, but I'm in the middle triumphantly having caught it.
You missed the lieutenant governor's interns were forced to go out the day before and find the 15-foot snake so that he could find it the next day.
Okay.
This is a piece. This is some sort of
propaganda
piece sent to us.
Okay. I'll have to tell you right now. I come into work and Michael's like, all right, guys, here's what we're doing. Obadiah and Nikki, we want you out in the woods. We want you to get the snake. And then we're going to take my picture with the snake. I would just be like, you know what, guys? I quit. Like, I really love what we do here.
It was dead already.
Doesn't matter.
You wouldn't touch a dead snake? I don't think I would. If it was 15-foot long, that's impressive.
I'm out.
Like,
a
picture.
I'm out on the whole thing. All of it. Just done. Like, don't be such a baby and be like, you know what? I got to go over here and get my rattle and my pacifier, and I'm going home.
Fine, you're not doing that. So then you never make it as a lieutenant governor's interns.
I can't make it in Florida at all. I can't make it in Florida.
They do seem to have a little bit of everything.
They're like, what's wrong with you? I can't make it. I'm not tough enough to live in your world.
You're hearing it for the first time, and it sounds terrible.
It's the worst of the riot on Radio U.
It's been a little while since we snuggled up with our Jer Bear, but the good news is...
Is Jer Bear is back.
He's back.
Yes.
And better than ever.
So Jeremy used to be in Ocean Speak.
Yes.
And now Ocean Speak, he has moved on to a new group to Radio U called Tiger Drive.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning. Yeah. How are you doing?
Really good. Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Very, very good.
So, Jeremy, how is life in Nashville?
Nashville's great. There's like two-day winters in Nashville, so I think I like it just a little bit better than Ohio, but only for that reason.
Oh, really? Because right now...
At first, I thought you said two-day winters. I was like, what does that mean? But you mean winters. Ah, yes. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So winter is not as bad there.
Exactly. I think we had maybe like 2 days of snow, and then it went right back to like 75 the day after. So I've gotten used to it. It's nice.
Well, let me ask you this question. A lot of bands that we know, what they do is they all talk about going to Nashville like they're visiting some holy city where life will become...
or music mecca.
This unending, glorious parade of fantastic life. Do you feel like you've entered that flow?
Has it lived up to that hype that sometimes people have of Nashville, like music city?
I mean, people are just really nice here. I think what happens is most of us, we hear that playing music is some kind of pipe dream and, like, you know, you're going to end up on the corner with your guitar case open, you know, playing covers. And then, you know, you come down here and everyone is trying to make it. So everyone's really supportive out here. So people are just really nice. I think that's the mecca part about Nashville.
Yeah, everybody. I will give you that, too, because every time we go, super, super sweet. Everybody's super nice, but also everybody's also in a band. But everybody is so, so nice. So you run into anybody, and of course they play music, but it's nice to have a real community around that.
Totally, totally.
So when you say everybody's supportive, you mean they stop and throw money in your open guitar case?
No, I mean, like, I could literally tell them that I did finger painting with my big toes, and they would come out to my shows.
Oh.
You know what I mean? They'd come. They wouldn't care. They'd be like, dude, I would totally come. That's awesome. And I just met them, like, the day before. You know?
And, I mean, is that a thing? Like, a Tiger Drive? Are you doing, like, a performance toe painting during the show?
You know, Budaya, I can't reveal all the secrets.
Okay.
At once. You're asking too much.
Okay.
So, Jeremy, Tiger Drive is new. We'll play the new song Free to Go in a bit. Are you at the point where you're playing a lot of shows? Or are you still just doing music to get it ready and then go out and tour? Or what point is Tiger Drive at?
Well, it's really awesome because when I moved here, I really wanted to take kind of my musical journey to another step. Obviously, Ricky moved out here with us, who is the drummer of Ocean Speak as well. So it's been really cool because I didn't want to move away from writing the style of music that Ocean Speak was.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to move to, like, the next point of maturity for me. So, as a writer, I moved a little bit more pop, a little bit more electronic. And now Tiger Drive actually is only three people. So it's me, Ricky, and a guy named Corey Pierce. So we're kind of, like, adding a lot of light. And adding a lot of, like, I mean, if anyone's ever seen Ocean Speak Live, they know we do, like, a lot of gimmicks, and we like to, like, do water drums and all these cool things. But now we're, like, adding lights, and we're adding, like, disco balls. And our whole point is to kind of make a smaller bridge between us and the crowd now, where more people can into the music, and we can have a greater time. So we're going to be booking shows later on this summer, and obviously we're just going to put out singles, and we're just kind of tired of Ocean Speak's kind of been on this roller coaster, up and down, and sometimes we're doing things, sometimes we weren't. Now we're just kind of trying to go full bore and go out and do it. So we're really excited. So once we're out there, we're out there.
Out there for good.
We'll be out there.
Gotcha. So, finger and toe painting and all, so whatever comes up.
Exactly. Yeah, totally.
So you had Ricky already. Where'd you find this Corey guy?
It's funny, Corey is originally from Colorado, but we're all transplants to Nashville, and when I got here, my wife and I moved here, and we founded a church, and we are, like, at the kind of the foyer of this church, and this guy walks up, and he looks like the biggest jerk on the face of the earth, and I'm, like, looking at him, because he's talking to me, and I'm talking to him, and our conversation is great, but his face look so uninterested in me and in life in general.
Sure.
He just looked so upset about everything. Well, probably like 3 weeks later, we'd become like best friends.
That's like, how that works.
It happens to be one of the gentlest, nicest people ever. And
aww.
Definitely, in my opinion, one of the best musicians and guitar players here in the city. And he's been kind of with it. We added a bunch of other musicians and kind of, you know, it's Nashville, so you kind of have to cycle through people, and that's what kind of took so long for us to get our feet off the ground. But Corey's been kind of a constant since I first started everything when I moved here, so he's great.
Well, you guys are good friends, but is he a jerk?
I never contradicted that.
Because, I mean, like, I've got friends.
Probably why we're good friends, if I'm being really
honest. No, he only had that face about him. You know, but that look.
Exactly.
It's not that he was. He just looked like he was.
Well, I mean, like, in fairness, I have lots of friends that are, I dearly love them, and they're huge jerks.
And he's just convinced.
If I'm being honest, the inner jerk in me needed to come out. So I think he brought out a good place.
Okay.
He brought out a good thing.
Well, we're glad you found, and we're glad you're still with Ricky, and you found a new friend as well for Tiger Drive. So for fans of Ocean Speak, make sure you transition on over, though it's not, you know, like the same thing moving over. It's a new jump over to a new band with a slightly new sound with it, too.
Totally.
All right. Well, we're excited about Tiger Drive, and Jeremy, it's good to just kind of touch base a little bit and see how you guys are doing, and we just appreciate you taking time, man. We're looking forward to seeing you when you start touring this fall. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be really exciting.
Awesome. Well, Jeremy, formerly of Ocean Speak, now of Tiger Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And with Corey and the other guy,
Ricky.
And give... And jerk looks
and all that one.
And lights at shows and musical whatevers.
He's been paying attention.
Oh, yeah. And that's all coming from Nashville.
That's right.
It's the Ryan.
I really didn't like it. It just bothered me.
Radio U.
Okay, Nikki, what do you think about this? A Bermuda cruise.
Sure.
All right. Leaves New York City. 7 nights. It's $679. But you also have to pay $206. Vacations need to stop that. They need to stop.
Obi just wants the price.
Can
just
somebody just tell me what it actually costs? Because it's like, hey, this airfare, it's $300, but it's $30 every time you want to reserve your seat, and there are 5 flights. So it's an extra $150.
Now, just because you had that recently when you were looking for airfare does not mean...
That this cruise line is also ripping me off?
I mean, they're also like, doing that too.
It's $679, but...
What's the extra cost for?
It says here for government taxes, fees, and port expenses. That's per person. So if, you know, you're going with friends,
everybody has to pay that.
$206 for each time, you know, that you get on the thing. So just get ready for that.
I don't think I would want to do a cruise along the coast from like New York down to an island or something.
Well, this is taking you out to Bermuda.
Bermuda. Okay.
It looks terrifying because, I mean, like, you're just in open water for days. Like, there's nothing. There's nothing out there.
Yeah, I looked at one going across the Atlantic. So, like, you'd leave here and go to Europe or something.
Yeah.
And
just like the Titanic?
Well, I was looking at the itinerary because it's like, what do you do? And I mean, man, you literally are at ocean with nothing for days.
I'm out.
So that seems boring, but if you're a cruise ship person, then probably not, because it seems like they tried to get enough stuff to do.
I think I've officially decided I couldn't relax on that.
On a cruise ship?
I don't think I could.
You'd have to start on a smaller trip.
I'm too scared, I think, of all that open water. Like, lake, fine. Coastal waters, fine. Ocean everywhere, I don't think so. I'm going to pass. I'm a land guy, I think.
Well, if not, I like the option of land quickly. And you wouldn't have that if you were on the boat.
Well, and if you have an airplane, if there is a problem, you do find land quickly.
But that's why I don't like space stuff, because you're not coming back quickly. Like, I know there's the window or whatever.
You know what bothers me is, like, I think we might just be cowards. Especially me. I'm not just roping you in.
It's a healthy fear.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing is, like, hey, I'm going to space. It's only $200,000. And they're like, we're sorry, there's a $25,000 fee.
It's a port fee.
For everybody that goes into space. It's a government tax.
It's a shuttle fee.
Space tax. So you're saying it's $225,000?
Listen, I think for both of us, we're both trying to figure out a summer vacation, and we're a little
and
angry.
We're not going anywhere!
We are! We're not done yet. We're going to come up with something that's affordable, fun, not too far away.
I think there's a Marriott about 10 minutes from my house. I hear they have a pool.
What about one of those hotels that have, yes, the whole swimming thing inside of it? You know,
like
the water park?
It's called a pool.
Yeah, the water park.
Oh, like a water park in it.
What about a water park hotel?
Let me ask you a question. Do you want to play in
a
water park all day?
Okay,
because me either. Like, I'm not interested in
that. That'd be a great video.
Just to be clear, I really appreciate the effort you went to.
I was trying.
I'd be good in that place for about an hour.
Then I'd probably just go lay in the room. Just go watch TV.
Turn the air way up. They have cable.
That's all you do. All right, well, that's. I apologize because I feel like our anxiousness of trying to plan the summer vacation has gotten the better of probably both of us.
Mostly me. It's mostly me.
It's not just you. Others feel it too, Obi. Others do.
You know what? It's just the economic realities of your dreams and your means. And when the two of them come together, it's
but
just
good
like,
on you, because others would just be like, charge it. You know, just do it. But you're being realistic about it, and you don't want to pay those port fees.
I saw a thing where in virtual reality, you can sit on the beach all you want, and it's like $15. So maybe I'll just do that. I've got a pretty comfortable chair.
You sure don't want to choose the water park hotel over the $15 virtual reality beach?
Well, at least then I don't have to walk around.
Okay, yes. All right. That's sad.
Your morning, but without yelling, laughing, or music.
Don't deprive me of that.
We wouldn't dream of it. It's The Riot on Radio U.
The Riot.
In our hands, the Butterfinger Peanut Butter Cups limited edition smoking hot flavor.
So it's a spicy peanut butter cup.
It is. Thank you so much to Josh in Hagerstown, Maryland.
It was so sweet. He asked if we'd tried these. We had not, and he mailed them to us.
And dude, he sent them in quantity. He sent, what do we have here? Like
three
different packages. And there are four peanut butter cups in each package.
I don't know if we're going to like these enough to enjoy all of these, but at least other staff can have
it. If you put them on the break room table, they'll disappear.
But do we have to disclose if we just leave the peanut butter cups out? They won't know they're the hot
Ooh.
Ones. Ew.
All right, so let's see. Smells like a regular Butterfinger bar.
Normal
like,
peanut butter cup. But these are
weird.
So these are spicy, so they're flavored with some sort of pepper.
Okay.
And I've not had a Butterfinger peanut butter cup, though. This is the first time for
either.
That. So, for that something.
Tastes Butterfingery.
How is it?
Well, I'm waiting on the hot.
There's a little spice to it, but not like miserable.
Oh, here it comes.
Is it there? That took a little long for it to hit you.
Oh, yeah. It's not burning hot.
You know what? It goes pretty well with the chocolate. It's complimentary.
Yeah, it's surprising. You know, I saw that, and I heard Hudson talking the other day about, like, we had chili flavored chocolate or whatever from Lindor. I don't know if that was spicy or not, but like
chocolate
that spice and chili.
Yes, it goes
chocolate.
Better. Normally, I never gravitate towards it, but it's actually pretty good. If you were feeling like having something spicy and just you wanted a little kick with your peanut butter cup.
Which, I'm going to be honest.
We've never said before.
I've never said that.
We've never said.
I'm like, man, I wish this peanut butter was spicy.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good though.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's funny. I don't have a very strong reaction to it. Like, I would not buy this.
Yeah.
Because like if I'm going in for a peanut butter cup, I want Reese's or just that.
That's all you're interested
like,
in.
Like I'm not even getting a Butterfinger peanut butter cup, but I will say this is pretty good. So
it's not too spicy at all, but you do feel a little heat. It's not overwhelming though.
I love spicy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. I might be coming around on that.
If you are a chocolate and chili sort of person, this would be right up your peanut butter cup.
This is gonna sound, this is gonna sound dumb, but like the aftertaste is really good.
You could get probably addicted to that.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, it's like one of those things.
You start craving the spiciness of it.
The actual peanut butter cup itself is like, it's okay, but it does leave a good taste in your mouth. And let's be honest, not everything does that.
So these are the peanut butter cups, the limited edition spicy flavors, though. These are the hot ones.
I think part of my critical attitude towards it probably just has to do with its not Reese's-ness.
I appreciate, when I saw Smokin' Hot, I was afraid. There's something called liquid smoke, and if you have a lot of barbecue stuff, it's in a lot. I despise liquid smoke.
It's not good.
I don't like the flavor. It has a really weird aftertaste a lot of times. And we've had stuff where they put liquid smoke in it, and you can tell.
Yeah.
This, I don't get the liquid smoke takeout
out of it.
I still feel like it's a spicy pepper sort of stuff. So thank you, Josh. That was actually a really unique thing to try.
I feel good about...
You'd eat these more than you would think you would.
I feel comfortable recommending those.
Yeah, I'm impressed. I thought they'd be terrible.
I would.
We had no high hopes.
I wasn't going in with high expectations, but like,
yeah,
they got something there.
My mouth is like, hey, what do we have this morning? This is nice.
Now it's a limited edition, so if you want to taste it, you got to move.
Well, we also have like 12 of them left here. If you'd like one.
Don't want to talk to the riots? We completely understand. Text instead. 877-2-RADIO-U.
So, what's your favorite burger chain, Nikki?
Burger chain is...
Or just burger place. Where gets your favorite burger?
I know what you're going to say, but it's In-N-Out. Because I don't have it often.
What was I going to say?
Not you, but just the collective group. Because sometimes people believe In-N-Out can be a little overrated when it always tops those lists.
Well, it didn't top the list.
This time, yes.
This time it did not. We are talking about a list that comes out every single year from Harris Poll. They have what they call the Equitrend Study, where they look at what are some of the most popular things in the United States.
Yeah.
And for the first time in a while...
In the hamburger category?
In-N-Out Burger is not.
Well, I think, though, that In-N-Out is still so much of a regional product for certain areas.
They are regional. I mean, yes, it's like mostly... California,
Nevada, Arizona, and Texas.
Right. But then don't they also have some in Oregon? Like one in Oregon?
I don't think they have one?
Isn't there an In-N-Out in Oregon?
I don't think so.
No, In-N-Out Burger opens first Oregon location.
Hey, they said, so they do have some there. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Let's see. Where did that?
No, I got to. They have two there.
Two. Okay. Wow. Is that in Portland? That's the whole. All right. No. Oh, Medford.
What was that tone? No offense.
I'm not gonna get into it, but I'm good. Okay.
They have Utah.
I have not good Medford memories. Okay.
But what overtook them in this category, In-N-Out used to always lead it, is Five Guys. Now Five Guys is also
good.
It's great, but it's also everywhere. So a lot more people have experienced Five Guys over In-N-Out.
Five Guys I think is good. Like, it doesn't blow me away. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very good burger, but I'm not like enamored with it.
Did they give you more? Like, I know Shake Shack is really good.
I got a list for you. Shake Shack's at number three. I've never had a Shake Shack burger before. Wendy's at four. I think Wendy's has a spectacular burger, especially for fast food. I think that's kind of a hard burger to beat.
What about a Whataburger?
Let's see. Culver's at number five.
Culver's, yeah.
Butter Burger, Nikki.
That's a Midwest sort of thing.
That's a good burger. Whataburger's at six. I was underwhelmed by Whataburger.
You were eating Whataburger at the airport where they're like, they don't care.
Why is that wrong?
A lot of times, there's not the same enthusiasm at the airport. You don't want to be there. They don't want to be there.
Yeah, I don't want to like go too far back. Earlier in the show, did you hear about my McDonald's experience this morning?
I don't care at even the locations.
So where
should you go?
Why is that any worse?
I don't know. I just feel like the airport's the worst place to experience it for the first time.
McDonald's is at number seven. That's wrong. That is wrong. That's like a paper towel with cheese on it.
It's not that bad.
McDonald's is not a good burger.
But I think they're trying with like their Big Mac stuff and their artisanal stuff. What else is on the list?
You say so. Number eight, Sonic.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had a cheeseburger from Sonic. I just get a corn dog.
As you're getting down on the list lower, I feel like they all are very similar to each other.
All right. That's true. But there are two at the bottom of this list that I feel like are... The fact that they rank below McDonald's and Sonic is a crime.
So what else?
Smashburger.
Yeah, but there's small locations. Doesn't have us the same following.
That's true, but that is a way better burger. Don't you think? A smash burger over a McDonald's burger?
It depends on the day you're going to catch me. I don't know.
Oh, that's wrong.
I don't know.
That's wrong.
I don't have smash burger often.
Okay, and then at number 10, Steak and Shake.
Yes.
I love Steak and Shake burgers. I love them. They're good. They're French fries, a lot of surface area there.
And
they're
you
Whittle
could,
fries.
At least the ones near us, you could die in line because it takes so
yeah,
long.
I mean, like,
and
don't...
they wouldn't even find you
yeah.
because it's such a long drive-through experience. And I don't want to hear it's because you're making it fresh. I don't want to hear that. I just know it's a long experience.
Nikki, that's why it's so good.
No. Whatever.
You know what? You take a long, what, 2-3 hour lunch, hit the drive-thru.
And you should be fine.
Keep in mind, Steak and Shake's about 3 minutes away. But I mean, you know, a few hours in line, you got yourself a fresh burger.
So is that the list?
That's the list. That's
okay.
The top 10 with Five Guys for the first time unseating In-N-Out.
Is there any other burger places or is that it?
Well, what about Burger King?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they must be
Nikki,
upset.
They're the king of burgers. Well, you know what the problem is? Here's the problem, okay? Here you've got this election. The king doesn't participate in elections.
You're right. He's already there.
He's the king.
Of his other list.
It's by divine right that he rules.
So he has his country, but no one else is allowed
Nobody's over there.
All right. So In-N-Out moving to number 2 and Five Guys on this particular list at number 1.
It's the worst of the riot, because calling it the best of the riot would be a lie. Radio U.
Earlier in the show, Nikki and I were talking about some of the stress and frustration when it comes to trying to afford a vacation.
Well, at this point, most people are thinking, or you already have planned, like, something for the summer.
Right.
And if not,
and
then...
Nikki and I have nothing planned and no money.
But we want to.
We do, which is why we're excited about a burger tour. We're going to hit...
It should be fun.
McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King, just the close, cheaper stuff. But, I mean, we just... All I
now,
can
that'll
hope
be
is,
a part of our new YouTube series, like, Obie and Nikki Drive, on our Radio U Riot YouTube channel.
I'll be like, yeah, this burger's only $1.99. Well, there are some hidden fees we haven't talked about, like the port fee and the baggage fee. And by the time all that's done, which is not us, that's an $8.99 Whopper that you have there. But it's fine. Don't worry about it. Now, I feel like going on vacation is like going to space. If you could come up with a good economic reason to get there, it makes sense. Like, hey, this asteroid is absolutely full of diamonds. I went to Disney World and made $500. Like, wait, how do you do that? I'll tell you how. Theft.
Theft. Okay, so it's not legal.
You know what, Nikki? All right, here's the thing. Are you talking about the law of man or the law of the jungle?
You're right.
Okay?
Yes, okay. So what theft are we talking
about?
Okay,
because jungle rules, baby. Come on.
We're at Disney.
Anything goes.
Disneyland and Disney World is wild, all right? And some of that's built into the pricing, I feel.
Yeah.
A little theft. That's why the prices are so high.
Know, I mean, like, basically, if I don't steal something,
I'm not participating in the system.
That's right.
And
that's
everybody's
right.
getting ripped off because they're not getting overcharged for a reason.
So then you got to rip them off a little bit. But sometimes stealing from Disney is hard, so you just got to steal from other people at the park. This is amazing. Michelle Craig, April 15th, Disney Hollywood Studios in Orlando.
What did she do?
I'll tell you what she did. She's there with her husband, or her daughter, and her daughter is in a Elsa dress.
Yeah.
Let it go, Frozen. And so,
let the money go.
Well, they should. So what ends up happening is she takes her daughter, she puts her in the stroller, and she walks out. It's not her stroller.
Oh, she's stealing stuff.
Now let's talk about real thievery, all right? She stole...
Who's your kid?
No. Nope, not even that. That's fine. They got to learn young. But, okay?
I'm mad at you.
Okay.
I mean, you got to learn the real world ways, okay?
Honey, this is the thing. You can't just come to Disney. You
got
to
earn it. Did you think you could go for free?
So... She stole a stroller, but here's where I think is the theft that's not reported in this story. This is a Bugaboo stroller that retails for
$1,800. I'm sorry, what? For the what?
The stroller?
The stroller's $1,800?
It's $1,800.
Oh, now that's ridiculous.
I know. I did a little Googling because I'm like, that's inflation.
You could
that's
buy a lot
real.
Of virtual reality stuff for that money.
Man, screw real. I'm telling you, for $1,800, I could go on a real vacation.
For $1,800, you could hire us to carry your child
around
and
Disney.
Have, and still have money.
That's right.
We'll be your bugaboo.
Nope. You, just go ahead and call
me your boo.
Call me Bugaboo.
Yeah, it's fine.
Whatever, whatever.
That's amazing.
So she steals the stroller and she ends up selling it on Facebook on, yes, one of those Facebook marketplace things.
Sure, and they found it.
They all know they're stolen. So this lady, it's this weird like overlapping whatever. There was like a purse, credit card, all this stuff in it. Something about that stroller still had some kind of mark of identification on it. This lady hears about it on the news that this $1,800 stroller has been stolen, and everyone's talking about what kind of an idiot paid. No. But she heard about it. She reached out to the lady. She was able to identify that she had bought the, you know, stolen stroller.
Sure, and got it back.
Ta-da!
But did they find so they found the person that stole it.
Yes, and she's under arrest now, and she's in trouble. But she was able to afford to go to Disney because that was a cash positive transaction, except for the jail part and the having to explain to her daughter why she can't go to Disney later this year like they were going to.
Well, I think they knew it was only a matter of time if they're stealing stuff.
No, it seemed like the perfect crime. Like, who's going to...
I actually just assumed there were cameras everywhere at Disney and they would have just been able to...
Okay.
Follow you to when you got in.
When's the last time you went to Disney?
Last year.
Okay. All right. And how many strollers did you see at Disney?
Well, I wasn't looking.
It was like a freaking stroller convention. Every building that you went into, it was like, is there a building here or is this stroller parking? I mean, like, they're everywhere. So if somebody came up and they're like, somebody stole my stroller, it's like, man, you might as well say somebody stole your shoes. Nobody's going to know.
They don't care.
And, like, there's some lady walking around pushing a girl in an Elsa dress in a stroller at Disney World.
Hey.
Again, needle in a haystack. That's
easy
the
there,
whole
though,
freaking place.
If this was a movie, they would have just simply used their security camera system, like the wall of all that,
oh,
and
yeah.
Tracked back to the beginning and found her.
Okay, let's see. Again, I need you to find a woman with a stroller that looks like this.
It's
like,
not just a woman. You're finding an $1,800 bugaboo.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but all strollers look the same. How dare you say that to me?
I just can't even. All right.
That is an $1,800 bugaboo stroller.
Like, I never heard the word bugaboo until you told me this.
The Riot spent their entire advertising and promotion budget on catering and craft services.
The junk that guy eats has finally caught up with me.
So please tell your friends. It's The Riot on Radio U.
I'm worried about Brad Pitt. They say he's losing a lot of weight.
Uh-oh.
So, way to go, Brad. It's interesting. You know, some people, they're having a rough time in their life. They go one way. Some of us go the other. You know what I'm saying?
You mean you don't lose weight, you gain weight?
I don't know. These pants aren't as loose as they used to be.
Yeah, but you're not going through any problems, so.
Not that you know about.
Not like to the degree, I believe, that he went through.
You know what, Nikki? I guess I'm just disgruntled. And like this factory worker in China, I have often struggled with the desire to set things on fire.
Did you?
Yeah. This guy got
fired. Do you?
This guy got fired. And so he went back to the ATM machine there at the factory. And he was dressed in camouflage and he covered his face. And he also used a magic marker like to cover up the camera.
Yeah.
But like there are cameras all over the place. So he just got a camera. So he grabbed some lighter fluid and he set the ATM on fire. And then he suddenly regretted his decision, like, oh, no, I shouldn't do that. So he did the only rational thing that he could think of to put out the fire.
On the ATM?
Yeah.
Did he stop, drop, and roll it?
No, not exactly that.
Did he jump on it?
He dropped something.
Oh, did he pee on it?
He did.
Yeah, okay, great.
Yeah, so that ATM machine
that
is,
one.
It's interesting
that.
It's
not usable right now.
I think you're going to have to go ahead and set it back on fire.
It wants to be on fire.
Because
it does
now
not
that,
want to.
Now that you've peed on it, it's like, well, I can't, I'm of no use to anyone anymore.
If you've gone to any outdoor ATM, though, you know it's probably been something
wrong.
Oh, do
you think
so? Oh, I'm sure.
So you're telling me that you get money from an ATM knowing full well that someone
no,
has micturated upon
the keys? No, I try to go through the
drive-thru
one, and I try to actually not touch cash, so, like actual cash. Who's going through the drive-thru?
At least I know where my card's been.
Who's going? Yeah, I know. It's not been out there for someone just to go to the bathroom on.
These buttons, I don't know.
Yeah, but you totally know, especially if you're in a city area. That's what's happening.
I just want you to know that it's interesting to me that to you, that's just been like, oh, yes, of course, I always pee on ATMs.
No, I didn't say that.
Doesn't everybody?
I'm just not surprised. Okay. Remember, I've seen a man
yes,
go number two out in public on the streets of San Francisco. So I lost that a long time ago, guys.
San Francisco is the most expensive, filthy place to live on Earth.
Yes, it is a... Some parts is just an open toilet. So
no, pretty much the whole city.
Whole part of it.
I was listening to someone the other day that works like in their tech district,
yeah, at,
like downtown, like in one is what is considered like one of the most upscale areas of San Francisco. They've still got people
just everywhere.
Yeah.
So ATM, it's not too shocking.
So no big deal. Well, just to be clear, he did manage to put the flames out, but see, it doesn't do you a lot of good to go in camouflaging yourself and then. Like leaving that on, because then police found him. He was still dressed in the same outfit,
he had
kerosene on him.
Okay, well, yeah, it's
like
easy
he had
to
a can
him.
Of kerosene with him. No good.
Sometimes just they don't think the whole thing through. Or at the end, he probably got emotional because of the fire and just didn't think to take the outfit off.
Could have been. I mean, like it was a great plan, but you got to go, as Nikki said, all the way.
Thanks for listening to the Worst of the Riot podcast.
Oh no, I missed it. Do it again.
You can hear us live every day on the Radio U Network through the Radio U app or at riot.radiou.com.
You live in the poop house now.